Welcome Sounds to Talking great. Comics.
Thank you.
We
Glad
have
to be here,
Evan
AJ.
Kidwell with us. Yeah, man, I appreciate you jumping on. This is new for us. This is, instead of a comic writer, you're an actual book author or a novel author of a sci-fi, or it's a more of a fantasy novel, right?
It's a fantasy, correct, yeah.
Yep. And it's called, Timaeus?
I say Timaeus, but other people say Timaeus. Okay. At the end of the day, I don't care how people say it. I just want people to read it.
There you. I love how you had that prepared. Timaeus Spark
and the luck curse.
The luck curse. So is this the first novel you've written?
First one I've written. It'll be the first in a series. The book does stand alone on its own as well. I get that question often. Okay. People don't necessarily want to jump into the series if they have to wait. So much like how the Harry Potter series ends on the first book, but you can tell there's going to be another one. Mine does the same thing, right? So it is going to be part of a series, but it does stand alone.
Right. So your little tagline was like Harry Potter meets the Hunger Games, right? If I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, I actually had I won an award for it with Reader's Favorite, and they actually gave a quote saying it's like Harry Potter meets the Hunger Games. I said, great, I'm just going to quote you moving forward on that. So,
100%. So go into that. You won an award.
Yeah.
How did that work?
Yeah, so there's an international award called the Reader's Favorite Award. Every year they take nominations for every different kind of category of book in the marketplace. So I won the 2025 Young Adult Mythology second place award. I didn't get first, but I still won an award, got a medal and everything. So
can't beat that.
Right.
When did you release the book?
At the very end of 2024.
Okay. End of 24. How's it gone?
Good so far. So actually, some of my best events have actually been comic events. So I'm in a place called Squim, Washington, which is the peninsula portion of Washington State. So my very first event I did was ECC, which is Emerald City Comic Con, which is Seattle Comic Con. And that was a fantastic event. I sold about 100 books at that event. And, you know, since then I've gone to much smaller events and done pretty well at events that I go to. I also do have, I'm on several podcasts now, podcasts and YouTubes and all of that kind of stuff. So just trying to get my name out there. Nobody knew who I was prior. I was in the world of insurance. That's my background, which if you know anything about the world of insurance, it's very compliant driven, which means you can't have a social media presence. Not really, at least with the firm I work with. So nobody knew who I was. Nobody knew I wrote a book. So it's just about taking baby steps and getting people to know about the book and picking it up. And, you know, I wanted to write something that would relate to the young adult category, but also I was really specific. I have a 7-year-old, as I mentioned earlier. When he gets maybe a couple years older, I wanted it to be a book he could pick up and read and not be fearful of what was going to be in it for him. So there's what's called zero smut or spice. I did that intentionally. It's a young adult book. You don't need that kind of stuff in young adult books. No language, right? So, but also, identifying some of the things I had to struggle with and deal with as life lessons as a youth, growing up into adulthood, and equipping youth with, you know, tools that they can use to overcome those in a fantastical way. So
I love that, because I did something very similar with my comic that I've just finished. Mine's an all ages, you know, no smut, no anything like that. It's truly an all ages book, because there's not a lot of that, you know, especially in comics, especially in indie comics, right? There's not a lot of that. So mine, you know, especially having an 11-year-old, you know, I wanted something she could read. But I read in your bio on Instagram, like, you had overcome being bullied as a kid as well.
Yeah, pretty significantly, actually.
I had dealt with a little bit of that. I was not bad, but, you know, just a little. But I dealt with it with my oldest daughter. She went through it in middle school. Mm-hmm. My youngest daughter, I don't know, she's doing okay at the moment, but we're about to go into middle school next year. but that was what my, the basis of my first comic was about, was, you know, an anti-bullying message, right? And a stop bullying. Like, I even have a whole page in my book, you know, it's like stop bullying, you know, with my superhero, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole premise of my story is about, you know, a boy being bullied at school, and our mascot, Panel Pete, you know, is a comic word bubble. He jumps out of the, you know, comic and helps him overcome being bullied. Right. So it's awesome. Really a cool, fun story. So I relate with yours, you know, pretty well, but go into that. Like, what is, how did you overcome it? How did you go into that?
Yeah. So, well, for one, I was always little, right? So I was premature. Story for another time, probably, but I was 3 months premature. I'm a miracle baby. And because of that, it meant that I was always behind from a growth standpoint. You wouldn't know it as me as an adult, but me as a kid, I was always the smallest kid in every class, all the way through high school. I mean, even in high school, I started wrestling in high school, and I was 98 pounds as a freshman in high school. So I was always the smallest kid, which meant I was an easy target, right? So everything you can think of that could happen in the world of bullying, and this was in a time where cyberbullying wasn't really a thing yet. But physical bullying absolutely was. I've been physically bullied in many different ways. You know, I've had little things that seem trivial, but things like one of my bullies one time, literally, I went to go say hi to my friend at lunchtime, and he just threw my lunch in the trash. Right? Like, it's just like, you know, nowadays there's movements around that. There's language around it. There's, you know, hey, you don't put up with it. You tell a teacher, that kind of stuff. When I was in school, it wasn't necessarily like, actually, you'd almost looked frowned upon by doing that kind of stuff, or at least that was the message that was relayed to me as a kid, right? And so, I think the interesting thing is, growing up as a kid, I was not good at sports. My hand-eye coordination really sucked. I was really tiny, right? And I have a genuinely good heart, right? So combine all of those things together, I became a very easy target because I didn't really fight back all that much. And, you know, I just kind of accepted defeat a little bit. One of the things I did as a kid was I actually would create these scenarios where I would interact with these characters. Some of them I've actually introduced into my book now, but it was almost this imaginary friend kind of thing. Right up until I found one real friend, and between, you know, my imagination and then my one friend, those were some of my pathways out. But one of my escapes was absolutely reading video games, reading movies, those kinds of things, like escape from the harshness of the reality of the world that I was dealing with. So one of the things that was really key for me in my book was the message of resilience. Because I think resilience is something that we can all attain in some way or another. And regardless of what you're dealing with in your lifetime, whether it's things like bullying, whether you can relate to that or not, you have probably dealt with some version of tragedy or trauma in your lifetime. And resilience is one of those things that you can actually use to help yourself get through it and not stay in it. And so that has been a message that was really significant in my first book, was that message of resilience. But I also included the message of friendship, right? Like, how can friends overcome some of the, I created a tyranny structure in my book. So the government is also a bit of a bully in this world that I created, right? So how does a group of friends overcome something that they're not supposed to be able to overcome, right? So, and I did that intentionally too, because my friend was part of the reason I was able to get through that and out of it and not dwell in it, if that makes sense. So
100% that makes sense. What are the books that you turn to as a kid and movies?
Yeah, so I was a big fan of, so first of all, Harry Potter, of course. I got introduced to Harry Potter was in fifth grade. Technically I got introduced on book two, and my fifth grade teacher would actually read it to the class for her like reading time, 30 minutes a day kind of thing. And it only took one or two of those reading sessions for me to pick up the book myself and go, I'm reading this sucker, right? So So Harry Potter Animorphs was a big deal for me as a kid. I read through every single one of them. I had them all pre-ordered when they come out. There's like 60 of them. So, you know, that's it was pretty intense. So those were the top two, was Animorphs and Harry Potter. From a movie standpoint, actually, one of the biggest early influences for me as a kid was the original, like OG, I'm aging myself now, but the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Like, for me, that was such an epic adventure. I was the kid that would wake up early on Saturday morning to watch the next episode in the series and everything. So those were the kinds of things that I was into. I've always leaned into fantasy types of worlds and adventures, hero type stories or group of people, hero stories like Power Rangers, right? But I was also a big fan of things like Pokemon, right? I'm a big nerd from that perspective, right? Like, so, those were some of my early influences was those kinds of games and those kinds of things.
So like your bio says, and I keep going back to this, you know, you turned fantasy novels as a refuge from childhood bullying. How did you carry that into your writing? Like, where did you start writing? How did that all begin?
Yeah, so I started my writing journey in a very unorthodox way, and I was actually at a leadership conference for the world of insurance, and the keynote from stage got up on stage and said, I want everybody to write down on their piece of paper something that scares them and excites them that they want to accomplish next year. And I had been thinking about this book for about 5 years. I actually had a dream about it. I keep a dream journal. And so I was like, oh, man, I'd love to just write my book. So I put down on my piece of paper, write my book. And I'm sitting in the front row. I try to be a good student in anything I do. And he points right at me and says, you got something on your paper? I said, yeah. He said, great, come up on stage. His whole keynote presentation was grilling me about my book that I wanted to write in front of 400 of my peers. So, wow. So that was definitely an unorthodox way of entering
into the fire,
the right? But now I had 400 people that were going to keep me accountable throughout the year, and anytime I talked to them, they'd be like, hey, how's your book coming, right? And I got off stage after his whole presentation, and one of my peers said, you know what this means, right? And I said, what? He said, you can't show up at the same event next year without a book, right? Not with this group of people. And I was like, on one hand, you're right. On the other hand, dang, you're right. So anyways, I came out of that event. I was very motivated to write my book. I had my feet to the fire, and I actually did a class with somebody who became like a writing coach to me, who's written 16 books, and I got a lot of feedback and wisdom out of him for writing my book. And so I kind of just jumped in feet first. And so that's how I started as an author. And then when it goes back to your question of how did I incorporate those kinds of things into my book as I started writing, a couple things. One, I wrote with a philosophy of, is this a book I would want to read? That was at the center and the core of anything I put down on a piece of paper was, would I want to read this? Right. And this is really important too, because there was a point in time where I was about halfway done with my manuscript and I was not loving it. And the reason I was not loving it is because I actually had the primary characters commuting to and from school. And the reason I did that is because I wanted them to live on campus, but I was stuck in my own head and in my own way of this mindset of, if they live on campus, that's going to feel too much like Harry Potter. Right? Like, I've got to do something different and unique that's not been done before. That was like where my head went with it, right? And my coach actually said, he said, you know, hey, look, here's the deal. If you like it for your story, great. But there are plenty of great books where students commute. There are plenty of great books where students live on campus, right? And there's only a handful of ways that can work for schooling, right? Like, you could be a homeschool, you could be, you know, live on campus, you could commute, right? But like, at the end of the day, like, you know, or you could, you know, not even do schooling at all, right? Like, but there, all of that's been done in the world of authorship, right? And so he said, so do what's right for you, what you feel is right for the book. Don't copy anyone, but them living on campus, that's fine. Like, you can do that. And so it actually allowed me to then continue to write the book the way I wanted to. I had to go back and rewrite the entire first manuscript after that, right? Which that's okay, because it then became a book I would have wanted to read, versus all of the commuting scenes were these drags of scenes that I just had to get through to tell the story, and I just didn't like them, right? So, and it allowed me to then focus on things like character development. So that's one is, would this be a book I would want to read, right? And by the way, I'm probably a little bit unorthodox from your traditional writer. I'm not personally a fan of someone describing a scene to such extent that there's no room for imagination left, if that makes sense. So I often focused more on things like character development, things like the really intense action scenes that I have in my books, those kinds of things. And I let the reader's imagination fill in the gaps. That was my intention, because I've always had a really intense imagination. I imagine other people do too. So, you know, I've certainly read books where I've read the book and it's dragging and dragging and dragging because they're describing every little thing. And I'm like, okay, can we get move towards the point of the book, right? So I tried to keep that out of my book as well. And what it turned into is, from my perspective, obviously I'm biased, a really great book. And I've heard that same feedback from other people too. So
it won an award. It has to be a good book, right?
Yeah, it won an award, exactly. And by the way, side note, I am currently a finalist for a second award called the International Impact Book Awards for Young Adult Fantasy as well. Voting is happening currently live right now for that until August. And so I'm really hoping I can get enough people to go in and
all right,
vote
where
for me
can
for
people
that.
Go vote?
So I can certainly equip you with the link after this. It's a specific yeah. link that they sent me as a finalist
okay.
for people to go vote. So,
well, yeah, give me that link. I'll put it in the show notes when I release it. This will release next Tuesday. So, okay, I mean, all perfect. Of two people will watch it, but you know, maybe one of those two will, you know, click the link. So
that's yes, exactly right. Love it. Love it.
You know, it gets you one vote out of it. I'll vote for you, you know?
Yeah, so. That's awesome. I love that.
No, that was a great segment there. Just, you know, like I wrote down, you know, kind of what would you pass on when you started talking about you got a writer mentor and stuff. And then you really jumped right into that, answering that question before I even could finish writing it, you know, is would this be a book that I want to read? You know, would I want to read this? That's, I think, a great feedback for people, you know, or advice to incoming authors or writing a, you know, is this comic a book that I would want to read? I think so. I read it all the time because I think it's great, but you know, but I wrote it. Did you, so that just reminded me. So when I wrote my script, I was actually on a plane ride to Seattle. I live in just outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, home of the Carolina Hurricanes, who are in the Stanley Cup finals.
Okay.
I just threw that in there.
That's I love it. I love it.
They lost game one last night, which sucked, but it's all right. But I was on a plane from Raleigh to Seattle, and that's the time I dedicated the plane ride there and back to write my script. And this was back in September. And I really enjoyed writing it, you know, and going through the whole process. I still don't feel like I'm a writer, which is very weird because I didn't write a novel, right? I didn't write every single detail. I wrote what I consider a glorified outline, which I then gave to an artist who then told the story, right?
Yep.
So, but, you know, they
well,
yell at me when
well,
I
let
say,
me stop you right there,
I'm not
because
a writer,
you but. Are definitely, you are definitely an author. You wrote, even if it's small, you wrote something, right? At the end of the day, it's about your vision coming to life. If you need to hire people to help your vision come to life, great. So like the artwork behind me, don't ask me to draw anything. I'm really bad at it, right? And so from that perspective, I'm not like an artist from that perspective, right? But I was able to take a scene from my book and I was able to describe it to an artist. And I said, this is what I'm after. This is what I'm going for. We tweaked back and forth. And the behind me, what you see is the final result. And so I still directed what I needed that to look like, right? And so you did the same thing. So you're absolutely an author, even if somebody did the artwork for you.
Right, exactly. I agree. That was going to be another one of my questions, you know, was what was that process like working with a cover artist and a designer and everything?
Yeah, so I did what's called a hybrid publishing model. So there's traditional publishing, which is you go out, get an agent, get somebody to approve it, all that kind of fun stuff. Then there's just straight indie, which is I put it on Amazon and hope for the best, right? And then there's this hybrid model, which the hybrid model does all the things that you might not know to do as an indie author that the publisher would know to do, but they don't take any sort of royalties and they don't have any control over what I do with my book or my future books, right? So I basically paid them a one-time fee. They helped me with everything from editing to fonts to cover art, which I love my cover. I don't have it in front of me here, but behind me, I should say, Yes, definitely show it at some point. That'd be great. Actually, I'll give you a story in a second about these banners because that came from feedback from another author. Anyways, they helped me with all that stuff. They helped me get it on Amazon. They helped me get number one bestseller on Amazon in 8 different categories. And all of that, it was a one-time fee, but I control all the royalties. I control all the rights. But that was really important for me because I'm not an editor, right? I'm a new author. There's things I never would have thought of.
Right. So they helped you with the editing and the marketing, or a lot of the marketing.
They helped me with the editing, the marketing, and the cover. They helped me with artwork. The map and the book, like those kinds of things, right? So, yeah. And they didn't do the artwork behind me. That was a different individual. But the point is they helped with all of that stuff. And I think for me, the biggest help there was actually content editing, which is, hey, I think my book flows nicely, you know? And so there were times where like, hey, just remove this whole section, right? It doesn't do anything to add to your book. Okay. And I just trusted that they're the experts in that space. And I trusted, but there were times where I was like, no, there's a reason that's there. You know, it could have been an Easter egg for the future that I'm not describing in that scene and that kind of stuff. Right. But that was really helpful to me because there was at one point there was like a whole almost a whole chapter that like just like this doesn't help you, like just get rid of it. And I thought it was great, right? So that was having additional eyes on your project like that is very, very helpful. So going back
before
to
you didn't
help
that,
you, go ahead. Yeah.
Like, don't lose where you're at, but before you went through them. When you were writing, did you let like your wife or a close friend or some confidant, you know, did you give it to them first? And what was that experience like?
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. First of all, it wasn't my wife. My wife was a nursing student back in the day, and she's told me on many, many occasions that she doesn't have to pick up another book again in her life if she doesn't have to. And so she told me, she said, I'm so proud of you. Yes, exactly. She goes, I'm so proud of you for writing a book, but I want you to know, she goes, I want you to know, I'm never going to read it. She said, I'll support you. I'm here for you, but I'm not going to read it. But if it gets turned into a movie, I'll watch the movie. And I said, okay, fair. Right? I don't need you to read it. Right.
So, that's great.
So that's when you know you have a good woman who will just tell you as it is, and that's okay, right? So I have actually somebody that I knew in the world of insurance who found out I was writing a book, and they said, just so you know, I don't know if you knew this, but I have a background in creative writing, and I love fantasy. So if you need anybody to like review your stuff and like see if it's good or not good or that kind of stuff, I'm happy to do it. And I said, done. Let's do it. So I would give her chapters as I wrote them. Sometimes it was 2 or 3 chapters at a time. And I would have brainstorming sessions with her because I was like, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what I'm trying to go for. Like, you know, should I do this or should I do that? Like, what do you think? And she was instrumental to that writing process for me.
That's awesome. I just remember when I finished my script and I printed it out. I gave a copy to my kid and my wife, and I ran in the other room and I hid. That's how the process went for me. And then they came in a few minutes later and they're like, this is actually pretty good. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then I sent it to my artist.
That's awesome. And by the way, side note, I did also, I got this idea from my buddy. So I actually created one of the scenes from my book. I turned it into a comic, so it's not completely irrelevant. And heck, I did that as a giveaway almost for people that helped me with my book and stuff. I only printed 250 of those. There's only 250 of those, right? So when I go to shows, those are an extra thing that people can buy if they want to and stuff. But I do have a comic as well. But I also wouldn't consider myself a comic author. It was really just a scene from my book that I told an artist to bring to life. So
that's cool. That's awesome. All right. So where were we? We were talking about editing and getting your artwork done just through the publisher.
Going after help, especially on the things that you don't necessarily know how to do, and being open to feedback from others in the industry, right? So the banners you see behind me, I personally love them, but my original banner was just my book. And that's great. And I was sitting next to a fellow author who has an amazing series I've read through. Her series is called North Queen. Her name is Nicola Tyke. She's also from the Pacific Northwest. And she said, hey, just so you know, your banner doesn't do anything for you right now, right? We were at a show together and she had, you know, a couple banners out and she goes, nobody knows what it is. She goes, your cover's really cool, but still nobody knows what your book is about, right? Nobody has an idea. Nobody knows it's young adult fantasy, right? And so she said, you should get new banners done. You should pay for an artist. Make sure it's like an actual artist, hand-drawn, all that kind of stuff. But pay for an artist to really bring a scene or a character to life for you, right? Use testimonies, all that kind of stuff. She said they should be able to look from across the room and at least have an idea that that might be a book they'd want to pick up, right? And so these banners came from her direct recommendation. And oh my goodness, it has been a complete game changer because I'll be at shows now and I'll watch people look at my banners and then come up to my table from across the room. And I'm like, okay, great. So the last couple of shows I did were fantastic shows for me just from, I think, the banners being a big part of it, quite honestly. So
I take can't help see all of the one.
And, yeah. What so does this say? It says, what would you do if, hang on. What if the moment you've waited for is the one that could take everything away, right? And then on my other side, it just says young adult fantasy. I have quotes at the bottom of them as well. And then at shows, I actually have a banner with my book, my award, my QR code, all that kind of stuff that sits behind me as well. So, yeah. Yeah, but I didn't want to overwhelm you guys with too much.
So. No, you're fine. That's fantastic. So did you get the book done in the year?
I did. I published it on Amazon 4 days prior to the year anniversary of that same event.
Did you go to the event and say, hey, I have a book?
Yeah, and they even announced it from stage for me, which had nothing to do with insurance, but they basically were like, hey, he said he was going to do it. He did it. Here's his book. Go look it up kind of thing. So they didn't have to do that, but it was really cool to, and everyone was, you know, high-fiving me and, you know, good job and, you know, fist bumps and all that kind of stuff. So it was really cool. But no, I did exactly what I said I was going to do. I had a bunch of naysayers along the way as well. Some of them were bully-esque, right? I know how to deal with a bully. And so I had one guy saying, he said, oh, do you have an MFA? And I go, what's an MFA? And he goes, a master's in fine arts. And I said, nope, I don't have that. He goes, yeah, you're not writing a book in a year. You know what? Watch me, dude. Watch me. Like, I've got an imagination. Right. That's all I need. I just need to get out of my head and onto paper.
Right. Well, and I think you got very fortunate with finding that editor to help you along the way too, that to bounce and brainstorm. And, you know, that I had that as well. You know, I was so inspired by doing these interviews. I don't know that I'll be inspired to write a novel. I ain't there yet. But I got very inspired to do a comic book interviewing comic creators, right? And I wrote a script. I was like, I can do a script. And then I, you know, I wrote an outline, right? And then I did a script. And Then I found an artist, which was amazing. You know, he'd been on the show once, and he sent me a piece of fan art one day, and I was like, hey, turn that into a cover. And he sent me the cover, and I was like, dude, you should do the whole book. And he's like, all right. So I ended up paying him to do the whole book, which was awesome. And now we're doing little fun projects together. Like, he wrote a little 8-page zine that we put out today, which was, you know, because there's a, you know, part of the book is set in a school, part of the book set in a comic shop. And some of the parts set in the school, we have a lunchroom, we have a lunch lady, and she's like this Russian, you know, accented lady. And, you know, what you imagine, you know, like the Adam Sandler lunch lady to look like. And I actually have, hold on.
That's funny.
I have stickers, hold on, somewhere. Yeah, here we go. So this is the lunch lady, if you can see that.
I can't see anything yet.
It might pop up in a minute, hopefully.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Yep, that sounds about right. Yep, I see it now.
So that's our lunch lady. But we wrote a zine, or he wrote a zine, and basically it's a story of how she's a, like, John Wick assassin at night and a lunch lady during the day.
Also, so, sounds great. I love that trope, right?
Right. Like, so we're gonna have a lot of fun in our little universe.
Hidden heroes trope, right? Or hidden assassins.
Yeah, vigilante, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But we're gonna have fun with that. And I love being able to, like, tie it all in together, you know, some of his world, some of my world, and the experience is just amazing when you find people like that, you know, like your editor, or, you know, even you're the company that's helping you put it out. You know, I'm sure they're doing a lot of good for you, you know, as artwork and everything too. So what advice would you give?
Yep.
You know, I know we talked about it a little bit, but what is another big piece of advice you'd give to somebody?
So somebody in general, or that's trying to write a book? Because those are different.
All right, writing a book.
Okay. For writing a book, I'll give you some of the same advice that my own writing coach gave to me, right? And the very first piece of advice he gave in his class was, if you want to write a book, you have to start by writing a book. That sounds very elementary, except he went on to explain that basically a book doesn't happen by accident. It happens by intentional sitting down in front of your computer and writing. And he even said, the first manuscript you do is going to be trash. Nobody's first manuscript is ever perfect or good. That's okay, right? You can edit along the way, but getting it out of your head and onto paper. And he did say, if there's a book that exists, or if there's a story that exists in the universe, but it isn't out yet, then you're probably the one that's meant to write.
There you go. I love that. All right, what would be the piece of advice for the individual?
For general, okay, this is really important to me, and that is, I dealt with a lot of not just bullying, but trauma as a child, even as an adult, trauma that I didn't realize I was still dealing with as an adult, right? And so I think it's really important to know that, one, you can get help from people and communities, right, for whatever it is you're going through. But two, don't allow yourself to stay in the drama or to stay in the trauma, right? Allow yourself the ability to move forward and grow and move past it. If you stay in the trauma, it's always going to have a hold over you. And I didn't even learn that one until recently myself as an adult. I had to go through some counseling, realizing I dealt with some trauma as a child, and I held on to it for my whole life, even into adulthood. And I wasn't truly like past it and moving forward with my life until I was able to be done with it, if that makes sense. So I think that's really important. And it also goes to some similar veins of things like bullying. Don't allow a bully to keep bullying, right? Speak up for it when it's happening. And when you see it, speak up for it. But every one of us deals with trauma in our lifetime. And some deal with more trauma than others. But being of the mindset that you don't want to live in it, you don't want to stay in it, you don't want to become a victim of it, you want to move past it, move through it. Sometimes it's easier to say than do. I've dealt with my fair share of trauma, so I can effectively say, it was when I would hear it from people, it was always easier to be like, yeah, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Right. You know, that's really important for me because people didn't know what I was going through. And yet I'm now in a better position in my life. I'm happily married, we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary this year, 3 beautiful kids. And I wouldn't have gotten there if I hadn't been able to get through some of the trauma. So
that's an amazing comeback story. I love that. So everybody can have that comeback story. All right. So I've got some questions that everybody gets asked, fun questions. And you're going to be no different because you're not a comic author, but you are, you said you had a comic, which I want one.
I do have a comic.
I gotta figure out how to get one.
Okay.
But before that, is there anything that we didn't talk about that you want to talk about or anything I didn't ask that you would like to be asked? I never want to let somebody come on the show and be like, oh, I really wish you would have asked me about this and I didn't get a chance to mention this, right? So this is your time. You've got the floor.
Look, at the end of the day, I'm trying to create a story that multiple people can relate to. It is a first in the series. Please pick up my book. Follow me on social medias. I welcome feedback. I've already implemented feedback from some initial editing misses that got told to me by readers. And so I welcome feedback. I want to make the next one even better. Please follow me on my social medias. I'm sure AJ will include those in his channel. And just real quick plug for my book. It is Young Adult Fantasy, Harry Potter Meets Hunger Games Meets Divergent. Basically, I have a flawed society hierarchy system that exists in my book. That system is generated from mythical beings of old, actually created a power or gave powers to humans, and humans passed those powers along genetically over time. And so the government has actually created this hierarchy of bloodlines, is what I call them, as a way to better control their people and their constituents. So the higher in the hierarchy you are, the better privileges you have, the more things you get access to, jobs, opportunities, all that kind of stuff. And the lower you are, the more servant-like you are, right? And so they created these trials as a way of unlocking powers sooner rather than later. Those trials have a very Hunger Game-like feel to them because all they care about is placing those people sooner rather than later. So that is kind of the quick plug for my book. Please pick it up. Please leave reviews. I appreciate all the help I can get. Please vote for my competition I'm going to be in, or I'm finalist for it. I'm already in it, right? I'm a finalist now, right?
Right. You're a finalist.
that would be the things that I wanted to say on the podcast. So.
Awesome. Well, that's perfect. You got your plug in and we'll get in there. We'll get it in at the end again, too. But all right. So here's my fun question. They're more comic related, so you got to bear with me. So hopefully you read a comic when you were a kid.
Yep,
so who is your first favorite like superhero or comic character or any kind of?
So first of all, I would have to say Iron Man. Is my favorite. Now, I will say I didn't really get into comics until I was watching the movies, the Marvel movies. So
nothing wrong with that.
I love the story and the message behind. I love his even to this day. Iron Man 1 Marvel movies is one of my favorites. Okay, and so it's just somebody who didn't have powers who innovated his way into powers. I think that's a brilliant. I mean, you see it with Batman and all that kind of stuff too. But I think it's a story we can all relate to. But I would have to say my favorite superhero in that kind of vein, Marvel, DC Comics, all that kind of stuff, I think is actually Doctor Strange. He's my absolute favorite.
Okay.
And I think it came down to, again, the Doctor Strange movie, how he beat Dormammu was brilliant. It wasn't even a defeat. He locked him into a time loop. Like, that is brilliant, right? And so I've always gone for the hero who beats the villain in a unorthodox or not normal way, right? Like, you know, not just, oh, I punched him stronger and boom, they're done, right? Like,
right.
So I've always loved those stories and I gravitate towards those kinds of heroes.
Awesome. Do you remember the first comic book you ever read?
first comic book I ever actually picked up and read. Well, okay, so side note, because I'm pretty sure this still answers the question. Does manga count?
Yes.
Okay, Naruto. Naruto is the first one I ever picked up. I'm a big fan of manga. I've read a lot of them, you know, and so I was still in high school when Naruto was a thing, and every week I would literally read the manga every week as it would come out. So that was probably the first comic book I ever actually picked up. But I've read, I've read all of Naruto, I've read all of One Piece, I've read all of Black Clover. Like I read them. So I'll watch an episode and I'm like, oh, that's really cool. What happens next? And I'll read them. Right. And so, I've done that for pretty much every one of them that are out there. And I usually keep two or three active going at a time from a manga perspective. And so hopefully
well, that was my next question is,
yeah.
What is your favorite current series?
Current series is still One Piece. It's still going. It's still active, right? Naruto Shippuden's done, right? I would say it's One Piece, and I love Solo Leveling as well. It's technically done for where I'm at in the manga, but it's not done for print. So I guess that would still be counted as current, right? So I don't know if that counts or not. But yeah, so One Piece, I'm also reading through Sabato Days. I think that's what it's called. So anyways, those are active ones I'm doing. But all of the other ones have finalized out. Naruto, Bleach, they've all, you know, My Hero, they've all finalized themselves out. So, but yeah, current One Piece is still active and current, and it's probably going to be going on for a lot longer as well. So
probably so. All right. If you could live in any comic book universe, which one would it be?
What a great question. If I could live in any comic book universe, which one would it be? Oh, man. I'm going to... It's a great, great question. I'm going to say, if I could live in a comic book universe, I would love to live in... I mean, I'm a sucker for Naruto. I love the whole series. I love the way they trained and grew and moved forward through adversity, right? So, of course, what's happening in the series right now, I don't know if I'd want to live there, but I would probably say that the Naruto world, I really just got fascinated with that entire world. So,
works for me. All right, if you could have any superpower, which one would you choose?
I would choose one that doesn't exist. I've always thought of this. So if I put a lot of thought into this one, right? So growing up as a kid, I've always thought the coolest power that I've never seen anybody do, and I think it would literally obliterate everybody, right? Now, you're going to probably correct me in a second here, but the ability to control gravity at all levels. That would pretty much make you a god of everything.
I like it. There is something similar. The Power Fantasy comic series, there's like 16 issues. I think it's done now. But the Power Fantasy, but there's a guy in there, Haven, who can control like gravity and like it's crazy. Like it's crazy. There's so many. That superhero, it's a superhero comic book, but just on a next level, just to like make you think level. Like one guy can just instantly kill somebody just by thinking about it. And like he does that to like the president because the president did something wrong, like in the first issue. Like that hooks you into the first issue. And it's like, okay. And then, but it's just like there's this like pyramid structure of superheroes, and it's crazy. But that might be worth checking out. That would you?
It's called what again?
Hear the Power Fantasy.
Power Fantasy. Okay.
Yep. So you know, last year and a half or so, it's been out. So I'm sure there's a graphic novel by now for it.
But even like for a moment, if you think of things like Dragon Ball Z, in the early days of Dragon Ball Z, the way he trained was by increasing his gravitational like pull, and then he trained with weights or trained with gravitational pulls, and then he would become stronger, and then, oh, well, now that gravity doesn't affect me anymore, right? So like right. That power would be effective against just about any superhero out there, just about any villain out there, right? And so I've always thought, man, somebody should do someone as a hero with this gravitational, but maybe it's too overpowered and that's why nobody's done it, right?
So. Maybe, yeah. I love it, man. All right, so this one's fun. Which comic book character, and it could be any, it could be a main character, a sidekick, any character, would you want as your personal sidekick?
Was my sidekick? Man, that's tough. And you're saying like they could be the main hero, but they're my sidekick as well?
Correct. So like Batman, you could pick Batman. He's the main hero, right? But he could be your sidekick.
That's, gosh, there's so many great options to choose from there.
Right.
I
mean, Tony Stark works. You like Iron Man, so he's got the money and the brains and the, you know, tech.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want Tony Stark as my sidekick. He'd be too much of an asshole for me, I think. Sorry. I got to keep the age appropriate. I should have not used the language, right. But he would not be a nice person to interact with. Okay, I'm going to put this out there. It's probably going to get me some flack from your community of people, but I actually think of like the humor behind him and like and how he functions in general in the movies. I haven't read his comics, so but I think like if I had to have a sidekick, I'd want somebody to bring some of that humor to the situations we were dealing with. And so I'd have to say maybe Ant-Man would be some of that the humor that would come into that kind of sidekick scenarios. So
I like that. Ant-Man's pretty cool. He's he can go big or small, get into places. I love it. And he's humorous, like you said. I love it. All right, this is the last one and my favorite. If your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
If my life were a comic book? It'd probably be something corny like Resilience Boy. It's probably what my life comic would be.
I love that answer, actually. I love that answer. Now, when you write your second book and you get it out, so I have a, I do this thing where people that have been on the show before, like yourself now, you can come on to our Thursday show. So Thursdays is when my daughter and I record our weekly show.
Okay.
And I invite people that have been on before that want to be on again. When they have another book or a Kickstarter or whatever, right? They just have something they want to promote or just come hang out with us, right? They can come on that show with us and hang out and then Annika, you know, play our silly games and stuff like that.
Love it.
So I invite you to do that when you get your second book out. And you got to remember that some of these questions, because I have a second level of these questions for returning guests. So,
okay, I'll remember these questions. I'll be ready for more questions like this.
More questions. But Evan, it was great to have you on. I think this was, you know, a lot of fun. Go buy the book. The links will be below. Go follow him. I'll put your link tree in there. So we'll have all your information. You just need to send me the link for your voting.
Yep.
And so I can add that. This will come out on Tuesday of next week, Tuesday morning. Okay. And so give your one last plug and we can take it from there.
Definitely follow me on social media. I try to be relatively active on Instagram. I can't necessarily always post every day, but I try to post things that are meaningful. Read the book, give me feedback. Please leave reviews if you do like it, because I'm still struggling on the review side of the equation, so every little bit helps. So
awesome. Well, Evan, thanks again for joining, and like I said, I can't wait to have you back on when you have your book 2 out.
You got it, no problem.
All right, I'm gonna stop the recording and we just get
thank you for listening to Talking Comics Podcast, powered by Aquadio Media, helping creators make waves.